Welcome to Weekly Winners. Today is Wednesday, September 29th. And we're coming off week three of the NFL schedule. Monday, we had Cowboys-Eagles. Not too much to cover there. Cowboys kind of stomped them. I will say the Cowboys looking a little better than I anticipated. Like, I knew they're a favorite in that division for a reason, but I picked the football team to win the division, and I mean, they beat the Chargers. They, you know, handled the Eagles, which no matter how bad the Eagles are, that's always impressive to be that dominant in a division game, and stuck right with the Bucs on that first Thursday night. So I think Cowboys fans have to be very pleased with this 2-1 right now.
Yeah, I agree. And like, I mean, you look at it though, that Eagles team isn't even that bad.
Yeah.
Kind of blew out the Falcons week two. They played the Niners to a one score game. Like, that Eagles team was kind of holding their own the first 2 weeks. And then, like you said, that division game, you'd expect it to be a tough game. And Cowboys just kind of waltzed in. And outside of the shaky start of the Fletcher Cox touchdown in the first quarter.
And despite that, winning by 20. Yeah, they have to be very happy with that. Going back to kind of the start of our day, Sunday, let's go Cardinals at Jags. Cardinals end up covering, which didn't look plausible at halftime after that.
Barely plausible two-thirds of the way through the third quarter.
But that – what did they attempt that kick from that the Jaguars got the return on?
It was like six – it would have been farther than Tucker's, right? I think it was 67.
Yeah, it was far. And it's – you got to know who your guy is. Like, he's not making that. Like,
right. When you have Hail Murray.
Right.
What are you doing?
They overcome that to, you know, handle the Jags in Jacksonville. I was on the Cardinals. I know you were too. So yep. We're happy to see that spread cover. I'm going to go to Falcons at Giants. Falcons come out with a win in New York, 17-14. And boy, the Giants are abysmal right now.
Yeah. I kind of sniffed this one out. I thought week one was a fluke from the Falcons. Even week two, throwing two pick sixes in the fourth quarter, right. Like kind of sniffed out that Falcons Bucks game should have been closer than it was. And yeah, I had the Falcons plus three. I was debating about taking them on the line, but
yeah, I bet the over in this game, and I simply don't understand how it didn't go over. Like, the Giants scored 14 points against the Falcons defense when they scored 30 against the football team, and the Falcons scored 17 when they, you know, kind of lit up the Buccaneers defense.
Right. You'd think Danny Dimes and Matt Ryan would have had a field day against these opposing defenses. Like,
let me go to kind of the controversial game in Detroit. Ravens at Lions. Ravens escape with a 2-point win after an NFL record-setting field goal. But should it have counted?
I don't think so.
I think the play clock was clearly at zero 2 seconds before that ball was snapped.
Right.
I mean, it stinks to, like, that you'd have to, like, take a record away from the guy, but those are the rules. It's better to take a record away from a guy than it is to take a win away from a team, like, in a season that's...
Right, and this isn't the play clock. This isn't, oh, we'll give you an extra second after the play clock goes to zero.
Right.
This is the game clock. Like,
Well, it was the play clock.
Oh, it was the play clock.
Yeah, but a penalty within the 2 minutes would result in a runoff, which would have ended the game. So, essentially the game clock, but...
I thought it only does the 10-second runoff if the clock's running.
Well, either way, it would go into a 71-yard field goal, which you have to imagine he doesn't make, seeing as he bounced it in off the crossbar.
Either way, just terrible reffing. I mean,
screw the Lions. Absolutely screw them. Got a feel for them for that. Like we said in the prep to this week that the Lions aren't that bad. Like they'll find three or four wins here and there. And this was going to be one of them. It should have been one of them. But no, they moved to 0-3, last in the division. So then we go to another division, another terrible NFC North team here. Bears at Browns. Field starts. They blown out in Cleveland. I put the Browns here, but yeah, I just kind of believed in it. Spread was 8. Like, felt like they could keep it close, and they were keeping it close through kind of the first half. The Browns didn't really score that much, but I mean, Fields was running for his life out there. Impossible to look at his performance and grade his performance after that game. I mean, Browns just lived in the backfield. I don't know how it's possible, but I saw a stat that he had, on average, less than a second to throw.
Right, and something we kind of talked about last week was he was the quarterback in the preseason that took the most time to throw the ball. Mm-hmm. So, like, that was just kind of a recipe for disaster.
The game was slow to him. It's not that fast.
Right.
And then Myles Garrett is teleporting into the backfield.
Yeah, I had the Bears covering here. And initially, my gut told me, well, Justin Fields just stinks. But when you have 67 sack yards in a game, that's not great.
Mm-hmm. We go to Bengals, count alone the Steelers out. The Steelers stink. I mean, it makes me very sad to watch Ben Roethlisberger play quarterback right now. The division looks very strong, as people expected. Losing to the Bengals here to move to 1-2. Lost two games you should have, won one you shouldn't have, which is bizarre. But I don't hate – this is a new place for me to be in as a Steelers fan. But I would like to see the Steelers have a high draft pick in this upcoming draft, because I think a young quarterback coming in, the timeline is just perfect. It's – the offensive line is bad, but it's young. They'll have a couple of years to play together and hopefully get to league average or league average plus. Ben's money comes off the books, which will kick in to TJ Watt's extension next year, and you can use kind of the other part of that to give Minka Fitzpatrick an extension after this year, keeping that young, exciting, very good defense in place. You have the young receivers around him. Juju probably leaves. I can't imagine, or maybe he stays on very little money, but I can't imagine he gets a whole lot of a very big deal. And even if you had Claypool and Deontay Johnson around him, and you know, even if they leave after a first contract, the Steelers are definitively the best team in the league at drafting wide receivers. You have Najee Harris there. You will have talent at the skill positions around your own quarterback. I think the timeline is just right, where if you can get a guy now, like in the draft, obviously, as we see first round quarterbacks, it's kind of 50-50. But if you can hit that 50, I think they're set up to be surging right as the rest of the division kind of has to take a step back. So that's kind of what I'm hoping to see. The Steelers, I don't want to exactly say the T word, but I just think they're naturally – the problem is the defense. Like, they're not going to win, like, 3 or 4 games. The defense is too good, and Tomlin's still a very solid coach. Like, I don't think a bad year this year should put him on the hot seat. I think the defense alone is going to put him to 6-7 wins.
Right.
And that's – I mean, it's tough because that's – you're not going to top 10 pick off of that, which is like drafting your quarterback and, you know, pick, you know, 14, 15, Mac Jones territory this year. But typically, I don't think you want the 5th QB off the board.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe it's a trade-up scenario, but that's looking way down the line. I'm just sad about it.
Yeah, I mean, I had them covering the minus three. I didn't think week two was a bad loss, but I mean, this week it was a bad loss. Right. No,
I said I was going to bet the under if TJ Watt played. He didn't, so I didn't bet it. But this may this bring game brings Steelers under to unders to 3-0. I was on two of them. So, yeah, I'll keep keeping an eye on that because this offense can't move the ball at all. We go to Colts at Titans. I had the Titans and the over in this game. I thought the Titans just went out there and would prove that they're clearly the better team than the Colts in this division. And that happened, but there wasn't so much of a blowout and so much of a high-scoring affair as I kind of anticipated from who's – but the Titans pretty much one of the league's worst defenses so far.
Yeah.
So I got 1-1 in that game, but
I don't have written down what I bet in that game. I know I bet every game, but
I think you have the Titans.
I think I had the Titans covering, but
if not, yeah, then we go to talk about sniffing a game about Chargers going into Arrowhead. I bet the Chargers money line plus 260. Just believed in this team. This Chiefs defense is just bad. They're just not good. And the Chargers escape with a win.
Yeah, I had the over 54.5. Hit 54. Sounds always, about right. That missed extra point by the Chargers kind of.
That was always tough.
Kind of screwed me over there, but figured it'd be a high scoring game. It was, but
yeah, I mean, Chargers were weird to win this game and then not have be still third in the division,
right?
But you have to think at this moment it's kind of their division, as long as the kind of things transpire as expected. Where if, I mean, if the Raiders can pull off, you know, an upset at the Chiefs and maybe beat the Chargers, they're going to be tough to catch.
Well, I will say this, because Chargers and Vegas play week four.
Mm-hmm.
I think the winner of that game, as long as they don't completely mess something up, has locked a playoff spot. I'm not saying they locked the division, but
right.
I mean, starting 4-0 in that division, I just don't see how you like fumble away out a playoff spot.
It kind of goes opposite if the Raiders win that game, where they're the disruptor by, you know, upsetting the Chiefs like last year, where this year, if they were to beat the Chargers and go to 4-0, they would have to avoid getting disrupted by like dropping like a game to the Broncos or two games to the Broncos or losing both to the Chiefs. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but I don't know. I still think with this division, and I don't know. I just think there's going to be two or three teams from this division, and I think if you start 4-0, you've pretty much locked up being one of those two or three teams.
The thing with the Raiders is their pass rush has looked fine, but I think a team with a truly good offensive line, it will be able to kind of pick that defense apart.
Right.
Because they have just enough skill in Nassib and Max Crosby. A team without two good tackles can take advantage of it. But you come across a team that does have that competent O-line, and I think that quarterback's going to have the time to kind of pick them apart. And I guess that's going to be the test for the Chiefs. Do they have that? Is that offensive line going to find its footing?
Right.
I said we'll go to Saints at Patriots. Saints kind of just handling the Patriots here. I have to give all the credit in the world to the Saints. Outside of the game where they didn't have most of their coaching staff, they've looked dominant, and they haven't been home in like a month.
Right. Yeah, I had the Saints covering, which obviously they won.
That was my instinct on this game when I flipped to the Patriots, just because I thought I was kind of smelling a rat line here. But
I just think some people don't realize how important coaches in the NFL are.
Yeah.
Like, I will 100% attribute that week two loss to the coaching staff being gone. I mean, coach is a very important position in the NFL.
And Jameis still doing Jameis things in this game. He had that play where he just threw it up into the end zone.
Yeah.
But I mean, it gets the job done. The Patriots losing there. We're going to the next game. Bills handling Washington at home. They do not have any competition in this division. The Bills are just going to run away with this. I mean, we'll get there in the next game. The Dolphins made it frisky at the end, but they were getting – I mean, they took it to overtime, but it took a fourth-quarter surge there. Yeah, I think the Bills just steadily increased the gap in this division.
Right. Yeah, the football team over 10.5 points at half, which they did hit. They had kept it close early, but Heineke turnovers kind of set them back. I think he had, what, 2 picks and a fumble?
Yeah. I picked the over, so this is one I was rest easy on in the third quarter.
Right.
So then the aforementioned Dolphins at Raiders overtime. Kind of was just the coin flip game. It was a weird overtime, just field goals. There's 3 field goals made in the fourth quarter. Raiders won the coin flip, went down, kicked a field goal. Dolphins went back, kicked another one. Raiders went and kicked one for the win. With how the Dolphins were surging, I thought they had a chance to kind of pull off the upset here. And I was hoping so because I bet them money line. But it kind of felt like a coin flip game at the end there. Like whoever won that flip was going to probably come out with it.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about my lock of the week record. At the Raiders -3.5 here, looking real good until you know, 3-4 minutes left in the game when the Dolphins go down, score, and get the 2-point.
Right.
And then, which I was very happy they got the 2-point. Otherwise, there was no chance.
Right, I had to go to overtime for
it. And then, yeah, like you said, field goal, field goal, field goal. And that was all she wrote.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Dropped to 0-3 on my lock of the week. Not great.
My lock of the week, rode with the kid, Zach Wilson. Over 18.5 pass completions. And it was a sweat at the end. He kept the Jets kept getting the ball. He'd complete like 1 or 2. And then like they'd go like 3 and out. And the Broncos would get it back and score or just like go 3 and out themselves. Jets would get it back. He'd complete 1 ball. They'd punt. So he was just slowly climbing towards it. And then the Jets down 26-0 on defense are using their timeouts to conserve time to get him the ball back with like 1 minute left.
Which, when they're down 26.
Right. And then he gets it. He has 18 completions. He throws it, caught for 19, hit my lock of the week, run up to the line, interception.
Yeah,
perfect Zach Wilson fashion. I'm maybe the only person in the world to make money betting on him this season, but he brings me to 2-1 for my locks of the week.
Yeah, I was rooting against that hard when they used their timeouts just so they could get the ball back with 1 minute left in a 26-0 game. That frustrated me.
Yeah,
because now I got a little hole to dig out of.
Jets are bad.
If it's any consolation, I did hit the Broncos -10.5, but not really.
Right. Just putting up to 0 is...
They're just bad.
They're so bad. I mean...
Is there a total points over-under for them on the rest of the season? Is it double digits?
Oh, boy. That's ugly. we go to Seahawks at Vikings. I bet the Cousins completions in this one. Well, that one hits. Vikings look really good in this game, despite not having Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, I had the money line. Don't think the Seahawks defense was really for real.
They look so good. They have been like the best looking 1-2 team.
Right.
They've just like, especially week one with the Titans, they looked so good. They looked like contenders week one.
Yeah. I didn't believe it. And the Vikings played, I mean, don't know if I want to call the Bengals a good team, but they played one very good team and one fairly good team, right. Very close, both week one and two. I feel like they were kind of due for a win against another pretty good team.
Yeah.
Yeah, hit my money line bet here.
Mm-hmm. You go to very exciting Bucks at Rams. Rams come out with a 10-point win here. I bet them plus 1.5. Yeah, Rams kind of cementing themselves at the top of the league.
Yeah, I mean, nothing but happy for Stafford. I mean, it's a big win for him to get. Was never getting those kind of wins in Detroit.
No.
I had the under 55.5 here. Just seemed high to me.
Okay.
I don't know. These competitive games, I just feel like they're not – they never really get that high.
Mm-hmm.
But this one did. It went for a total of 58, which is higher than 55.5.
That is true. Then we go to night game, Packers at 49ers. 49ers just leaving too much time on the clock. No timeouts of 30 seconds.
You can't do that. And it's tough because you need a touchdown. So when you have the opportunity to score, right, you got to take it.
I mean, the play they ran didn't look like they're going to score on it. It looked like a perfect get down at the 1 or 2 play. And then just kind of that extra lunge gets them into the end zone. And so you can't really be mad about it at the 49ers because they say, you know, don't leave the time on the clock. But truly 30 seconds, no timeouts. So you need one play to go your way. But consistently, they park the guys way too far back when you only have the 1-point lead. Like, you can't just leave the middle of the field open 20 yards down
field.
It's just that's where they're going to hit it. And when you have talented guys, they're going to just make their way to the sideline or they're going to run up and.
And you can't play that. You can't play that far back when you're playing Mason Crosby. Don't get me wrong. Mason Crosby is not Justin Tucker, but he's on what, year 14 or 15 of doing this. Like, he's always, besides maybe 1 year, been reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he lines up for, you know, a 50-yard game winner. As a Packer fan, I'm comfortable with that. Yeah. I mean, not too concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the Packers very much so needed this after week one because everyone kind of looked at that Lions game and was like, yeah, you know, it was the Lions.
It's easy after such an emotional win coming down to the wire like that, like, to not think about what happened in the rest of the game. Just be like, I escaped with the win. And that's absolutely true. But I don't think this solves things for the Packers. Like, this 49ers defense or this offense is still not very good.
Right.
Like, they shouldn't have given up 28 points to them. Jimmy G kind of, despite the mistakes, and boy, was there a glaring mistake from Jimmy G when he just threw the ball backwards. But despite that, he was able to carve up the defense fairly consistently and without the consistent run game that 49ers usually have.
Yeah, I mean, welcome to the world of a Packer fan. Yeah. We're used to giving up 28, 30 points a game, and
mm-hmm.
we just always had Rodgers to score 35.
Like, right, so that the.
But that's the why we don't win the big game.
Right, the Packers Super Bowl recipe includes a above league average defense, which
right.
I'm not convinced the Packers have right now.
Oh, no. It's far from that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's just, it's. As a Packer fan, it's what I've become accustomed to.
Yeah.
Is, you know, ever since the league kind of figured out the Dom Capers bend but don't break defense,
mm-hmm.
which wasn't hard to figure out. It was just, hey, don't turn the ball over in the red zone.
Right.
Because, I mean, that defense was fun to watch. They'd give up 500, 600 yards a game, but they walk away with, like, four red zone turnovers. It's like, this is sick. Like,
yeah, I mean, it has to be good for the Packers to kind of get over the 49ers, who, of course, gave you the woes in the NFC Championship a couple of years ago, a team that they're kind of, you know, as much of a kind of rivalry you can get out of a division, like teams that very much are matched up consistently. So I guess you're feeling good as a Packers fan if that's what's waiting for you in the NFC Championship, but more likely it's the Bucs or the Rams.
Right.
Which,
well, and I even told you before the start of this game or early in the first quarter, I was like, this is a game the Packers will win. Mm-hmm. And then they'll lose it in the playoffs because that's just how it works as a Packer
fan. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'd much rather be in the position of looking at this game in the context of what it means in the NFC Championship rather than looking at draft picks. But I just don't know. It'd just be tough for third year in a row if you can make it there, but not quite.
I don't
get it done.
I don't know if this team's good enough. I think it's a Bucks Rams NFC Championship.
Yeah, we'll personally have to see how the seeding falls. Especially with week one was tough for the Packers, but out of the Bucks and Rams, they probably have the lightest division.
Right.
So if they can take care of things in the division, I mean, the one seed is so important now. If they can get there, the Rams have to lose first.
Right.
To open that door, but
I wouldn't, as a Rams fan, I wouldn't be worried about having to go into Green Bay. Stafford's used to it.
Right.
Used to do it once a year. I think the Packers can beat the Bucs in the playoffs if that game's in Green Bay and the weather's bad.
That'll be high scoring either way, I think.
I think if you get a nice, you know, 6 inches of snow during the game.
Right.
Because the Packers have A.J. Dillon. And Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones are not A.J. Dillon.
Yeah.
But that's looking way into the future. A lot can happen.
Home field is just so important now.
Right.
Then we go Monday night, which we kind of covered. So that's kind of our what was our Wednesday or our week three slate for our Wednesday episode. Out of all those games, who was your winner of the week?
You know that I love to hate this man, but my winner of the week is Aaron Rodgers. I just think that last drive with 37 seconds or however much time was left kind of quieted the haters a little bit. Because, you know, after week one, it's like, oh, you know, is Rodgers losing on purpose? Is he doing this on purpose, doing that on purpose? Like, he's not trying. He wants out. It's like, if he really wanted out, he wouldn't have gone out and done that.
Right.
Like, and he also has, you know, 52 other guys on the roster that are relying on him to help them get contracts. Like, they wouldn't let that fly.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just think he kind of toned back all the haters, got him to quiet down a little bit. And as much as I dislike Aaron Rodgers, he went out there and he was a winner. I mean, did what he had to do to win the game.
Yep. For mine, if you go into Arrowhead in September and come away with a win, you get my winner of the week. So Brandon Staley, brand new Chargers coach, in his third game in the NFL as a head coach, gets win in Arrowhead against the Chiefs. He said they looked good. I mean, you weren't going to pull the Chiefs out. That's just not how it goes. But you just held the line at the end. Were able to just kind of squeak past them. And Chargers look really good right now.
Right.
A massive win.
And when you hold the – normally, if your defense gives up 24 points, you're like, oh, that's kind of a lot. But when it's the Chiefs, it's like, that's a good showing. You know,
and I think it just makes that Cowboys loss with just that weird, the reffing and all that hurt even more. Because if Chargers escaping a 3-point win, then I think the Chargers have a ton of buzz right now. 3-0 just beat the Chiefs on the road. I think that is, you know, people are on them heavy, but I think tempered expectations due to we see what can happen. They can make a lot of mistakes, get a lot of penalties, and kind of play a sloppy game.
So I was seeing stuff on Twitter, heard about it on some podcasts, about doubling the ref's salary and making it their full-time job, mm-hmm. where they have to, like, do coursework in the off season, kind of like how a player would, you know, study film or playbook. Cause like there's been some very glaring reffing issues, whether it be the Justin Tucker field goal, the end of that Chargers game against the Cowboys. Right. Like, I mean, every year there's, cause I mean, there was the Saints pass interference in the playoffs, like what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Like every season there seems to be one big one. But, like, this season, we've kind of already accumulated a few big ones. Like,
I mean, I get it's the, like, we don't want to bog the game down at the end with, like, all these reviews and stuff. But there's still just the seemingly arbitrary, hey, here's what you can and can't review.
Right.
Like, if everyone in the stadium can see that the clock hit zeros, like, that's a extremely easy play to like go back and say, oh, right. You didn't get it off.
That's black like, and white.
Just because right. You didn't throw the flag at the time, like, why does that mean you can't go back and, you know, maybe just in the last 2 minutes, like, because you don't want, like, a play to go off and then all of a sudden, like, oh, we're calling retroactive holding on that play. But just getting stuff like that, or like, hey, this guy clearly wasn't down. Like, can we take a look at that? It's like, I don't know, just keep it moving. Like, these are, you know, games on the line. Like, this is massive repercussions.
Right. I mean, think how big that Cowboys loss could potentially be for the Chargers, where it didn't have to be that way. And I don't know. I just feel like something's got to change with the reffing. Now, I don't think it should be automated. Like, I've heard a lot of people, you know, talk about, you know, obviously we wouldn't be able to execute automated reffing now, but like, you know, in 5-10 years when AI gets just crazy,
right?
Which I don't think we should go to automated. I think human error is part of it.
Especially in football. Like, baseball is a different thing. It's way more black and white, way more often. Football is like, if you're truly teaching AI what by the rules holding is, we will never finish an NFL game.
Right. But yeah, I don't know. I just thought that was interesting because I didn't realize NFL ref wasn't even a full-time job.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Make like 50,000-60,000 a year, which is nuts. I figured that was like $500,000 a year gig.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it is like 17 days a year. But
it's 17 days a year for a multi-billion dollar entity that heavily relies on them. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Let's go to Thursday night now. We got Jags at Bengals. Bengals open up at 7.5-point favorites, which seems like a lot for a Bengals team, but this Jags seems bad.
This Jags seems bad, and this Bengals team kind of seems like they're here to play.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I'm not saying this is a playoff team or anything, but they're a team that's going to win some games they shouldn't.
Yeah.
And be in some games they shouldn't be in is kind of what it seems like.
So what do you got? What was your head at for this one?
All right. So, CJ Henderson, he's gone. Get him out of here. Which, I guess we didn't really touch on that. Kind of seems like the Panthers are trying to make this, like, hey, this is our year to go to playoffs. Yeah. I mean, that it's a big trade for CJ Henderson.
Right. I mean, they have the schedule to do it.
Right. So, CJ Henderson gone. A pass defense that already wasn't great. So I got Joey B over 299.5 and to win straight money line at +181. I'm also taking Joey B over 2.5 TDs and to win money line at +183. And as kind of a hedge, I do have a Jags money line +270. Kind of a hedge.
Right.
I think 9 out of 10 times this game is played, Joey B will throw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns in this game. Because I do think the Bengals defense is maybe just bad enough that the Jags can keep it within like 2 scores through most of the game. But I think Joey B will kind of throw all over this defense, especially if T. Higgins is back. And then right. You got your kind of trio of wideouts that they got to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. And I also think if there's a time for Trevor Lawrence to kind of start showing something, it's this game.
Yep.
Your prime time, it's Thursday night. People are going to be watching. Even, you know, people kind of like myself who I've seen, I've been keeping up with it. I'm interested, but there's games with playoff implications going on. And so I'm not invested in a Jaguars game necessarily. Everyone's going to see him playing. Like, they hear about, oh, he hasn't been that good, throwing a lot of picks. They're going to see him play in this game. So I think, and I don't think this Bengals defense is really anything to write home about.
Right.
So I think he, along with Burrow, they're both kind of getting right in this game. I think they both look really good. So I found a very interesting line that's Lawrence and Burrow combined 550 passing yards and 5 touchdowns. So you got to get 3 touchdowns and 2 touchdowns out of some of them. Maybe Burrow goes for 4 and you only need 1 out of. You know, maybe Burrow goes nuts like you expect and he goes for 404 touchdowns. Then you need 1 touchdown, 150 yards out of Lawrence. Right. Especially like it for the price it's at. It's +650.
Wow.
I mean, 550 is a decent amount of yards, but I like those. I guess the touchdowns is probably where, like, this could be a 21-14 game. It's like, is every pass going to be a touchdown? Maybe not. But with the Jaguars, make
right, have but to be. That, I don't know. Because, like, even though Lawrence has been throwing picks, he's been throwing touchdowns too. I mean, week one, he threw 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
Burrow only had 18 pass attempts against the Steelers and did not throw for 200 yards. Did throw for the 3 touchdowns, but so that's kind of, I guess, where you would get some pause. Lawrence threw it 34 times, but still only threw for 200 yards. So yeah. I guess the yards is probably the stopping point, but if Lawrence can kind of limit turnovers, cutting drives short, I think, you know, they're giving him the volume for him to get up close to that 300-yard mark. So I'll kind of just be rooting for stellar QB play in this one.
Yeah, I don't like the line because, like, I don't think the Jags are going to go winless, and I think this right. is one of their better shots at getting a win.
It's Jets Broncos-esque to me, where it's like it's a big line for two teams that you're like, they're not that great. But then one team just like kind of blows the other out, and you're like, yeah, like neither of these teams are excellent, but there's still a big gap here.
Right.
Or like it just, we've seen weird Thursday night games. Like maybe it just stays competitive.
Right. We've seen quite a few Thursday night games now where it's like, oh, wow, this Thursday night game's going down to a game-winning field goal. Who would have thought?
It's kind of another reason I like that. Thursday night so far has been high scoring and a lot of offensive play.
From games we didn't exactly expect either. I mean, This is week 3 of bad Thursday night games.
Yeah. Well, Bucks Cowboys was a good game.
Oh, wait, we are only in week 3. No, this is week 4.
Right.
Yeah. And then, so you had the football team and the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And then who did we have last Thursday?
It's not on here, but it was. Texans and Panthers.
Right. So, like, this is kind of week 3. And I know the narrative the NFL is looking for here. You know, the last 2 first overall picks, was hoping Lawrence was going to look better than he has so far. Mm-hmm. You know, thinking, oh, maybe, you know,
this
both teams going in 2-1 or something.
This could have been a very intriguing game. I see what they did it, but, and it still could be.
But, yeah, we'll see. Hopefully we get on track with Thursday night games soon.
Yeah.
Like, give me some Cardinals, Rams, or give me, you know.
I traditionally kind of covered the Monday night game with the Thursday night game.
Right.
Yeah, that is our episode. You can catch us on Sunday for our full breakdown of the rest of week 4. Drop late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, typically. So, yeah, enjoy this Thursday night game, and thanks for listening.